So we're continuing through the Gospel of Mark. Mark is the, we think, the first gospel to have been written. Matthew, Luke, and John, mostly Matthew and Luke, take from Mark and add to it. So those two gospels are longer. So if in fact, am I on? If in fact Mark is the first and the shortest, it should be the place where we all begin. Amen? The passage that I've chosen for today includes a miracle. It must have been a pretty impressive miracle. I even heard choir members going, amen? It must have been pretty impressive because it shows up in all four Gospels. Some version of this miracle shows up in all four Gospels. Well, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on the miracle itself. In fact, I misnamed the sermon for this morning. I think it says bookmarks. It's actually supposed to be bookends. Bookends. I have a number of books. Those of you that have been in my office know that. And I've learned that there are many kinds of bookends. I have a couple of books on my desk at home, and it has a wonderful set of bookends that my brother gave to me one year for Christmas. And I love it because it's the head and the tail of a dachshund. So, of course, you can put as many books in between as you'd like. I have a set of bookmarks in my office upstairs that were given to me by MCCDC when I left there. And they have praying hands. Praying hands. Then there are the simple bookmarks, you know, the little metal ones that you just get for 99 cents or whatever at Staples, you know. I've got some of those in my office, too, holding up books which go this way as opposed to this way. I tend to have so many that I pile them like that on my bookshelves. You hold more that way than you do this, I discovered rather quickly. This particular passage from Mark begins and ends with something that I think is incredibly important. Right before this section, there's the story of Herod and John the Baptist, and I want to just skip that. I want to move even before that. Before that, Jesus had sent out his disciples two by two to go into the surrounding countryside and to preach and to heal. And so after this interlude about John the Baptist, you find them coming back from their mission and seeing Jesus again and being incredibly excited about what had happened while they were gone. All of the wonderful things that had happened as a result of their preaching and their teaching and their healing. They were just ecstatic. And Jesus knew that they were tired. And so he says to them this: come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while. Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while. He knew that they needed to get rest, that they needed to be in that rest replenished. It was about filling up their empty cups. They had spent everything, all of their energies. And now it was time to get re-energized. And Jesus knew that the best way to do that was to go away and rest. Now, the people saw something was going on. They all got in a boat and headed off, Jesus and his disciples. And the people saw that they were going somewhere and somehow managed to beat them to the place where they were going. And that's when the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 takes place. And do you see what's interesting about this? You know, the disciples must have been so tired that after Jesus had taught, and they saw all these people, and it was getting later and later in the day, the disciples said to Jesus, "You need to send them away so they can go get something to eat." And it's almost like Jesus said, "Don't you remember what you were just doing not long ago when I sent you out two by two? You were on your own, and you preached, and you taught, and you healed. God used you. Don't you think God can do the same now?" And so he said, "Find out what it is you've got." And they said, "Well, we've got a few loaves and a few fish." Jesus blessed them, and everybody ate. And there was an amazing amount left over. Well, after this was over, it's actually the next verse that wasn't read. After all of this was done, in verse 45 and 46, immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And after saying farewell to them, what did he do? He went up on the mountain to pray. Bookends. Jesus begins and ends this particular part of his ministry by being quiet, by getting in touch with God, by praying. Over and over and over again, Jesus does this. He takes time away. If you remember at the very beginning of his ministry, right after he was baptized, what does he do? He goes away for 40 days into the wilderness, and there he's tempted. But he goes away for 40 days so that he can get in touch with God, so he can be prepared for what is to come, what the next step is in his ministry. And then his ministry begins. What happens at the end? Do you remember? After the Last Supper, he goes up to the Mount of Olives and finds a place. It's called Gethsemane, where there are probably olive groves and an olive press. And he goes away to a quiet place by himself to do what? To pray. So Jesus begins and ends his ministry with prayer, with getting back in touch with God about what was supposed to happen next. William Barclay, in his commentary on this passage, calls this the rhythm of the Christian life. The rhythm of the Christian life. See, we have a tendency to be all about doing. You know, and I think pastors sometimes have more of a problem with that than almost anybody, if you could believe it. You know, we're supposed to be the ones taking time. But we get so busy with our to-do lists and our people to meet with and the meetings that we have to attend or lead that we sometimes forget to just be still. To listen. To simply be. Jesus did it over and over and over again. And if discipleship is about following Jesus, it's not all about working for Jesus. It's about following Jesus. And if it's about following Jesus, then it's about seeing in Jesus what the Christian life is supposed to be. And what does he do besides heal and teach? He takes time away to pray over and over and over again. See, Jesus didn't just come out of nowhere to do the things that he did. What he did came out of his deep devotion to God. It came out of a prayer. It came out of practicing the presence of God. There's a wonderful book by that title, by the way. Practicing the Presence of God. It's by someone named Brother Lawrence, and it's ancient. It's very old. But I encourage you, it's small, easy to read. Brother Lawrence was a monk in a monastery, and he was given the menial tasks to do, and at first he was a bit concerned about all of that. Why was he only supposed to be washing dishes? Wasn't there something more for him to be doing than washing dishes? And finally he realized that he could be mindful while he washed the dishes. Sounds very Buddhist, doesn't it? It isn't. It's Christian. See, I think just about every religion has this deep, deep stream of mindfulness, of devotion, no matter what the religion is. Jesus certainly practiced it. His ability to do what he did came out of mindfulness to what God was about in his life. So that he didn't do something that someone else could do better. He did what only he could do. We sometimes look at other people in the church or around and we go, oh, wow, look at them. I couldn't possibly do what they do, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, we tend to diminish ourselves when we do that. When the reality of it is, if we are mindful about what it is that God wants me to do, that only I can do, then when we do that, we are participating in making the reign of God a reality on earth. Somebody else can't do what you do. Only you can be you. Let me say that again. Only you can be you. I know early on I was in homiletics classes. Somebody asked me the other day, what's homiletics? I says, it's preaching. It's a fancy word for it. Seminary gives fancy words to a lot of things, so, you know, preaching. Yeah. Early on in homiletics classes, we were taught that our job was not to be Billy Graham or Robert Schuller or whatever. Our job was to be us. That nobody else could do what we could do. Probably most of you were saying, thank you, Jesus. Because I certainly don't want to do what you do, Pastor. My partner tells me that all the time. But you see, only you can be you. You don't have to be me. I'll say praise the Lord. And I don't have to be you. Praise the Lord. What Jesus did didn't just come out of nowhere. It came out of his deep devotion to what it is that God wanted him to do. And he only got in touch with that when he took time away. When he became mindful of what it was that God wanted him to do. And he was trying to teach his disciples to do the same thing. Come away to a quiet place. And at the end, go away to to a quiet place. I got a new phone not long ago. I'm told by the risk management team that I should keep my phone with me, so I've got my phone. Whatever. And I don't have it turned off totally. Nobody's called me. Most of all, USA Today hasn't made some kind of an alert about anything. So, praise the Lord. But I have this app on my phone, and I left my phone turned on, hoping it would work while I preached, but it hasn't. So I'll make it work. It's a wonderful thing. I don't know if anybody out there could hear that because it's kind of low. I'll do it again. And the idea is when it rings, you just go, "Ooh," for a moment. And you stop whatever it is you're doing and be mindful. It'll probably ring during communion. But there's something about just going, of letting the tension out, of focusing again on God. For those of you who didn't hear it, somebody's bell went off. We ask God to fill our cup. But if we don't take the time to let God do that, then we spend a lot of time running on empty. And I don't know about you, but I know when my car starts to get toward empty, I know I need to go someplace and fill it up. And we're quicker to do that with our cars than we are with ourselves. We're quicker to pay attention to the arrow on the gas tank than we are to our own selves when we begin to run low. So my encouragement for you this week is to remember the bookends. Remember that Jesus took time around that miracle. There was time for prayer. Around that miracle, there was time away. Around that incredible miracle, Jesus got in touch with God. And if Jesus had to do it, I guess we do too. Amen. Will you pray with me? Fill my cup, Lord. Fill it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill me up, fill me up, and make me fill us up, God. Fill us up. Teach us to take time to be filled up so that whatever it is you call us to do, we have then everything we need. Because it's not about us. It's about being filled with you. Allow us to follow the example of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen and amen.